Welcome to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services, a show about coping with getting older ourselves and dealing with our aging parents. If you have questions about how to cope with these stresses, call Scott at 877-960-9960. Now, here's Scott.
Welcome, everybody. Another edition of Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom. If you're here on 95.9, in the Palm Beaches, we're excited to that you have found us. If you have just found us, if you're a regular, we're very excited you came back. 106.9 on the Treasure Coast. What a glorious day, right? Today was a Chamber of Commerce day. It's been wonderful. You know, we have a really interesting show tonight. I'll start by saying we're used to seeing images of robots building cars in factories, doing headstands. We have all sorts of images of robots, but we don't really always think about how robotics plays a role in our healthcare and in medicine. It's really amazing, or you're going to find out tonight how amazing it is, what surgeons can do with the robotics capability that exists in the operating rooms today. My guest tonight, who is a terrific spokesperson for this subject, is going to talk about robotic surgery. Dr. Casey Cohn is here from Good Samaritan Hospital, and she's going to tell us all about the latest advances in robotics and how it's impacting things in the operating room. And I'll tell you more about Dr. Cohn in just a minute. But first, I hope everybody had a wonderful Easter and a happy Passover. The holidays ended yesterday, but I hope the good feelings of getting to see people we may not have seen in the last year lingers and lasts long, and we hope you enjoyed, and we hope you take those good feelings down the road. We've had a tough year. It's about time. Speaking about getting over a tough year, today was the day that all adults 16 and over for Pfizer, 18 and older for J&J and Moderna are eligible to be vaccinated. My guest tonight told me she went past the CVS and they were doing J&J there and the line was around the door. That's exciting for all of us. Please get vaccinated. When it's your turn, I can tell you it's liberating. Don't believe the negativity that's out there in some quarters. It is a lifesaver. There's 140 million people in this country that are vaccinated. Nobody's grown a second head and nobody is falling over. Get vaccinated and enjoy your holidays evermore in the future as we go. I know my son-in-law's parents are coming down tomorrow, haven't seen their grandchildren in a year. All right, that's what vaccines will do for you. So I can't encourage you enough to please get vaccinated if you can. But let me tell you more about my guest, which is the reason that you tuned in tonight. Dr. Casey Cohn is here, all right? And she has, well, actually, she just told me that she has been appointed chief of surgery at Palm Beach Gardens Hospital. So I'm going to congratulate her for that. But in addition, she's at Good Samaritan Hospital, has been there since 2017. She's a staff general surgeon there. I would tell you exactly what she specializes in, but I can't pronounce it. She did her residency and fellowship at Florida Hospital at Tampa and then at Palmetto Health Richland Memorial Hospital in Columbia, South Carolina, and East Carolina Surgery. And she is going to tell us everything we need to know. Dr. Cohn, it's so exciting. It's 3 years since you were here, and I'm so excited to see you again.
Oh, welcome back. So happy to be back. I love be on the show.
Thank you. So we did talk about robotics a little last time you were here, mm-hmm. but so much is evolving and so much is changing. It's really quite remarkable, isn't it? So tell us a little bit about how things are evolving in the world of robotics.
It's funny, because if you had even told me just 5 years ago that I would be almost an exclusive robotic surgeon, I would have thought you were crazy. Wow. And my idea of that changes so quickly, as I think a lot of us as residents in training, even in the last 5 to 10 years, haven't gotten that. But robotic surgery is fascinating in that it actually came out of the military. And the thought originally was that, say, you know, a soldier was wounded on the battlefield, you know, usually the Red Cross or the hospital can be a target you know, on the battlefield. So the thought by the military was that what if we could take the soldier to said location and then a surgeon in Germany, you know, let's say that the battle's in Afghanistan and a surgeon in Germany could sit at a console and remotely do surgery on a patient and take the surgeon out of the battlefield or the doctors. And as you might expect, that failed miserably. There's not really a role for robotics and trauma, but they thought, well, we've invested so much in this, let's take it a step further. And then they started using the robot for other surgeries. It actually initially was used more in OBGYN and urology surgeries. And now it's evolved into pretty much every specialty, including, you know, orthopedics and thoracic. And my personal favorite is general surgery and oncology.
Right. And I guess I should give you a chance to talk about your practice, which is why you're so experienced. So I can't pronounce everything you do, but you're doing some amazing things in your surgery. So tell us a little bit about that.
So my area of the body, liver, pancreas, and bile duct, the formal name is hepatopancreatic obiliary, big fancy name for kind of the right upper quadrant of the body. But before that area was pretty much an open surgery territory. And over the last, I would say, 5 to 10 years, slowly it's evolving into, you know, big robotic surgeries that involve the liver and the pancreas, big reconstructions. I think where the tools have gone, the movements are so finite, and with the robot, and we'll probably get into this a little bit later, but the difference between laparoscopy is that laparoscopy is like operating with chopsticks. It's very, you know, two-dimensional. If you've ever tried to eat rice with chopsticks, you know what I'm talking about. But imagine if the end of your chopstick, you had the ability for a wrist, and that wristedness, that 360-degree movement is what the robot allows you to do. So that's what Da Vinci technology, which is the robot that we use, allows us.
It's interesting that you raised laparoscopy, because we didn't talk about that prior to the show, but you're absolutely, well, obviously you're spot on because this is your specialty, but people do confuse laparoscopy procedures or whatever I'm saying, and robotics. And while the entry points may often be exactly the same, the surgeries are remarkably different.
Oh, they are. And yeah. I think robotics for a surgeon is actually a lot easier than the laparoscopy once you get the swing of it. You know, like I said, the two-dimensional, and then you do have to rely on, remember, as a person, I only have two arms, so I can only really operate two instruments at a time. The robot, believe it or not, I can switch between all four, and I can pretty much have control of all four of those. So even though the incision sites are almost exactly the same, and the size is the same, you know, what I can do actually inside the body is much better. And the camera and the optics on the robot are just far superior.
And that's moving at light speed, is it not? The growth is, I remember when I first saw a robot, it was actually at Good Sam Hospital. Mm-hmm. They had brought it into the atrium for a meeting I went to, and they showed us, and I was kind of blown away. But that can't be that many years ago, and now they're more nimble, they're faster, they're imagery is better. It has opened up a world of opportunity for you.
Oh yeah, it's been incredible. I saw the robot in my training as a resident, but it was still fairly new. And then even the first, you know, I would say 5 years out in practice, you know, it was still. But with the technology and the training, and then, you know, obviously patient demand. I mean, patients want, you know, state-of-the-art care, and you really do have to keep up with the times. And it's just, I think, in a lot of respects, superior to a lot.
So let's talk about that a little bit. Robots really give you a greater skill set than you had before, at least as I understand it. Not that you couldn't do it otherwise, but it gives you a degree of specificity that perhaps you were not able to achieve before, for all the technology associated with it. Why is that important to the patient?
I think, you know, especially, so I was doing, I remember a case just just recently, where a lot of times before a big pancreatic resection, we will go in with the camera to make sure they don't have any metastatic disease. And I really do feel that the high definition camera and how close I can actually get, like, you know, you can't really put your face in the abdomen when you're open, you know, when you're open. You have loops if you want, which can become very cumbersome. And from an ergonomic perspective, you know, all of that, you know, heavy equipment, a headlamp, the loops, that can weigh heavy on a surgeon's body. A lot of surgeons have neck problems. So sitting at a console comfortably with your head in the rest, I can actually see better than I can with a headlight and my loops. And so there's not as much surgeon fatigue in the field. And then obviously the instruments are, you know, so accurate. So the patient benefits in that I don't think the surgeon tires as quickly, and you can sit there and be very, with a lot of finesse with each movement and the precision of the instruments and the amount of instruments that are at your disposal and the technology. So going back to that case, I went in, and with the high definition camera, I know I probably would not have been able to see that with my naked eye. I saw a metastatic implant and knew that there was of no benefit to proceed at that point. So I think the optics and the camera give you that visualization. The other thing that the robot does is there's a chemical that we call, it's called ICG, which is indocyanine green, which is literally color of the Grinch. It scares patients when you start approaching them with it, but it's a completely benign dye, and we inject it, and it lets us know, like, let's say we're doing a colon resection and we take out the cancer and we want to know that the colon that we've left in has a nice blood flow, because if we put two pieces back together that don't have a good flow, the connection can fall apart and lead to disastrous complications. So we inject this dye, and if it has great blood flow, it will turn bright green, and we know there's plenty of perfusion and we're safe to put those two pieces back together. You know, before we could use that technology, but, you know, you got to get out a Woods lamp, and it's not something that we would routinely do. And we use that dye for other things. I do that a lot with my hepatobiliary surgeries. It clearly lights up the whole biliary tree for me. One of the most common injuries after a gallbladder surgery is, common bile duct injuries, especially in really nasty gallbladders. And so what the indocyanine green or the ICG does is it clearly lets me stay way far away from what I don't want to be next to and lets me just operate right by the gallbladder. And I think that it's, you know, prevented a lot of injuries to the main duct, which was one of the most highly litigated things in the general surgery world.
You know, you just gave me about 20 questions to ask you. So So from a patient's perspective, it gives you the ability to be more finite, to be more exact, to do less peripheral damage. Not that anybody ever wants to do damage. I hate using those words because it conjures up evil, which is not what we're talking about. So it gets you there, and it also gets you to see things that you otherwise, as you just said, might not be able to see. So does that in and of itself speed recovery and outcome improvement for that reason? Or is it kind of the same, but, you know, less side effects?
So I think what speeds patient recovery up in robotic surgery is the fact the incisions are so small. Remember, when you have a big open incision, you know, the retraction on the abdominal wall, the sheer size of it, you know, that requires a lot more pain medication, which, you know, if pain medication slows respiration, it, you know, the GI tract goes to sleep. So patient's recovery is much longer because it's much more painful with a huge midline incision to get up, walk around, do all the therapy. You require more pain medication, so you're just groggy. The small, tiny incisions are less painful. So I think that speeds recovery. I think in terms of, you know, I would say blood loss, you know, you are able to see those very tiny blood vessels and try to stay far away from them. And so that would minimize blood loss for sure.
So there was a time, and it may have been you that told me this, that the choice of using a robot sometimes took longer, that the preparation took longer until you were able to do your procedure. But that's not quite so true anymore. Am I right?
Right, you're correct. There is, the teams are getting better because, remember, it's a very sophisticated piece of machinery. And, you know, to bring the robot in, get it right, you know, dock it correctly, I think there was a big learning curve for not only the surgeon, but also for the team in the room. Everything from anesthesia to positioning to, you know, the nurses who have to drive it in and then your surgical assistant. So, I mean, obviously, with your hands, you're constantly moving. And so it's going to take longer to place an instrument, you know, through the trocar than it is for somebody to put, like, a hemostat in your hand when you're doing an open surgery. But after a while, with a dedicated team, you know, shout out to the team at Good Sam. They're so good now. They can get, you know, we can, you know, dock in, you know, 5 minutes, which is great. I mean, docking time used to take, you know, 30, 45 minutes sometimes. So now with the team and the surgeon and, you know, you can minimize that time.
Are you increasingly doing more procedures robotically than you used to? Has you, not just you, but all of the team at Good Sam, does the skill that you have evolved and developed and the changes in the equipment, which I still haven't gotten to, does that open the opportunity for you to do more procedures robotically than you used to do?
It does. We've gotten more robots. We now have 3 state-of-the-art robots at Good Sam, which are great. So the availability of the robot and then, you know, obviously patients wanting robotics, you know. So I think, you know, oh, my dad had robotic surgery. I want to, you know, and then they tell their friend and then they come in. So there's kind of word of mouth about it as well.
Yeah. So do you have trouble? I'm just curious. Do you have trouble scheduling out? Is there a long wait list? There was at one time. The reason I ask, and it's just personal experience, you know, because we've talked about it. I had robotic surgery about 2 years ago, and I had trouble getting it scheduled because it was non-emergency. It wasn't life-threatening. So it was classified elective, even though I really needed to have the surgery. And we had to cancel one time, and I had to wait weeks and weeks to get rescheduled. But you have capacity now that was unheard of recently, right?
So right. You know, it's funny because we have 3 robots, and I am, you know, limited to, you know, one morning on a Thursday, you know, like all fighting in the sandbox over the toys. But yeah, you know, it's funny how many surgeons now want to be trained on the robot and, you know, really I would say, as a surgeon, it's a very enjoyable experience.
Right. And people talk about robots as they're all the same, but they're not. The Da Vinci does some surgery, and then there's different robots for orthopedics or knees, right?
Exactly.
Can you explain to the audience what the differences are?
Sure. And, you know, they're coming down the pike with more and more robots. I mean, for a while there, Da Vinci, I think, you know, had the corner on the market. But, you know, Google is trying to come up with a robot. The Google robot actually will give you almost like a step-by-step, you know, take the surgeon's work out of it all together. It will tell you, like a video game, like, you are not in the right plane, you know, go back into the green. And so I'm like, oh, I don't know if I would enjoy a Google robot or not. But they have a robot for knees and orthopedic, which is completely different. The Da Vinci robot is a system in which, you know, they have, you know, I think the most common misperception by the community is that, oh, well, if the robot does my surgery, so you're not going to even be in the room. And it's not like you go in and put a gallbladder and hit enter and it knows what to do. No, it's, you know, starting in the case, you know, I put in all the trocars exactly where I want them. I put in the instruments, and then I step out and I go to the console, which is right by the operating table. I put my head in the console, and I put my hands in these little finger-like holders, and then the robot mimics my exact movements. It never goes rogue. Just what I do is what the robot does. And so, you know, a lot of things will say, oh, this is robotic, but it's, you know, and I'm not sure they're familiar with the companies, but they're things that just kind of lock onto the bed, and then you might retract with it a little bit. But the Da Vinci is kind of, when you refer to robotics, is kind of like the premier robot.
There's no question that it is. If you're just tuning in, this is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. Here tonight with one of my favorite guests. She was not been here for the last 3 years, and I don't know why, because she is so informative, and I hope you're getting everything you hoped you would. As we talk about robots in the operating room, we have so much more to ask Dr. Casey Cohn at Good Samaritan Hospital and the new just appointed chief of surgery at Palm Beach Gardens Hospital. I'm excited that you're here. She is board certified in general surgery and in trauma critical care. Simply put, she's an expert in our subject matter tonight. And if you're thinking about general surgery or surgery of other kinds, or whether you should have robotic or general traditional surgery, I don't know if that's the right term. Mm-hmm. If you're thinking about that, tonight's show is so important to you. If you have questions for Dr. Cohn or for myself, call us 877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys are proud to be a family-owned and operated business.
That's right, Mike. It's myself and my husband, Tino, my sister, Melissa, and her husband, Joe, and my parents, Irene and Scott Greenberg. As you can tell by six family members being able to work together, family is extremely important to us. Our clients often have kids that live out of state or even overseas, and those extended family members want to have the comfort of being able to contact a family member at any time to follow up on how mom or dad is doing. While you are able to reach a family member at any time, our office staff is truly part of our extended family. They monitor the phones 24/7 in case of an emergency and are empowered to make decisions that are in the best interest of the client, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines the quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or visit our website at palmbeach.comfortcare.com. That's palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As your parents get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared?
Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. Eldercare 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and resources to assist you and your loved ones with their daily activities of living with healthcare challenges.
As a patient advocate, Eldercare 360 brings together a team of patient-focused, caring professionals with decades of experience. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800.
Make Eldercare 360 part of your team. Eldercare 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
Hi, I'm Laura Oliveris, the president of Silver Solutions, the senior-focused home services company. Unfortunately, COVID-19 continues to be a reality for too many of us. But thankfully, every day, more and more of our older adults are getting protected by the vaccine. At Silver Solutions, we pride ourselves on protecting older adults as well, from safety improvements to downsizing to emptying the home after the loss of your loved one. Silver Solutions is here to help you move forward with ease and confidence. To find out more, call us today at 877-AGE-SAFE. That's 877-AGE-SAFE. Or visit us online at silversolutions.com. Our team is bonded, insured, and follows rigorous CDC guidelines, including the full use of PPE. Life can bring the unexpected, but when it comes to making growing older safer and less stressful, you can count on us, Silver Solutions.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm here tonight with just the most enjoyable guest and certainly very knowledgeable. Dr. Casey Cohn is here. Dr. Cohn is a general surgeon specializing in liver, pancreas, and other surgery. Again, I can't pronounce the specialty, but she also is a specialist in robotic surgery, which is the subject matter for tonight. And she must be pretty good because she was just named chief of surgery at Palm Beach Gardens Hospital as well. So she's at Good Sam and Palm Beach Gardens, and we're talking about everything robotic. I wanted to drill down a little bit more in detail because we just touched on it prior to the break, Dr. Cohen, and that was there is this perception that a physician just programs in the surgery they're about to do, push a button, and then sit back and make sure nothing goes wrong. And that really, nothing could be further from the truth. You are still very much the surgeon, and it is just another tool in the toolbox, albeit a very important one.
Exactly, yeah. And like I said, that's the most common misperception in my office. In fact, patients are like, I don't want that robot thing. You know, I want you to do my surgery. And I'm like, well, I am fully in control of that robot. That robot does not move until I sit there. Even if I barely move my head out of the console and disengage my forehead from that area, everything freezes inside the abdomen. You can't move your head from the console and something happen in the robot. Everything's sort of locked in position. And then obviously I have an assistant at the bedside who changes in and out the instruments, and sometimes they have to manually, you know, push something out of the way or suction, but it's exactly the same. It's almost exactly the same as laparoscopy in the fact that I'm fully engaged for the whole portion of the operation.
So, again, we did touch on this. The time required for surgery is now no longer slower or faster. It's comparable to the way surgery used to be done. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And robotics is not for everybody and for every. So what are the kinds of things that obviate your ability to do a robotic procedure or encourage you to do it on the other side? What guides that ship?
Sure. I think it's easier to talk about who's not a candidate.
Right.
So, you know, acute emergencies, obviously why it failed miserably with the military and trauma. Things are acutely bleeding. You put in a camera and everything is red. You know, there's blood and you just can't see anything. So obviously acute trauma or patients unstable. You know, sometimes, especially when you're operating with the GI tract, if patients have obstructions or big tumors that's caused, you know, a big blockage, there's just too much gas in the bowel that there's no room for us to work. So not having any room to work. The third thing, I think the most common thing while we don't, is that let's say patients have had previous operations. Let's say that, you know, I commonly see this as, you know, they had a trauma, you know, in their 20s. Let's say they had a gunshot wound or they had a perforated bowel in another respect, and they have tons of adhesions, and I just can't get, because we have to have a potential space between the organs that we're working on and the abdominal wall. We have to fill that space with air so that we can see. So if there's a lot of scar tissue, there's no ability to create that space and see anything. So anything that obscures that space, be it blood, be it air in the bowel, or be it scars or adhesions, limits our ability to use the robot, which is, you know, unfortunate. You get frustrated, but you know, that's just the way that it is. The other occasion is that, let's say patients just have a huge tumor. There are some tumors that, you know, are the size of your head, or just giant, and the size that it's of the incision that it's going to require to take it out, you know, is going to be the same size of the incision that you would, you know, use to extract it robotically. So we say, well, you know, maybe we should just do this one open.
Right. And that's always your call, rarely the patient's call, right?
Yeah.
The other thing I would think, if you had a very complicated case and more than one surgeon was in the room, that might get to be a challenge,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, although...
Now move over, it's my turn.
Although that's so interesting you say that, because at Good Sam we have the dual console, which allows two surgeons to operate simultaneously at both consoles, which is great because, like, let's say I'm learning a new procedure. I can have a proctor come in and sit down, and he can say, nope, and he just clicks a button, and it says, take, and he takes all the instruments away from you, and then you can give, and give all of them back. Or I can take two, and he can take two. So that's really amazing. Some of these big, complex surgeries, where there's two surgeons, they can operate on the dual, and that's really nice. It's great for teaching, and it's great for big cases.
That really is astounding. I asked that question out of naivete, but I'm glad I did, because it's really, that's pretty fascinating. I Wow. anyway, if you're just tuning in, this is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom here tonight with Dr. K.C. Cohn. Dr. Cohn is at Good Samaritan Hospital. She is a general surgeon that specializes in robotics. And because she obviously is really, really good at what she does, she's also the new chief of surgery at Palm Beach Gardens. Dr. Cohn has been a guest here before. And if you're a new listener, we do shows like this every Monday. We talk about issues that confront boomers and their parents. We try to keep you up to date in the latest and the greatest and things that impact you and affect you. If you're a regular listener, we're glad that you're coming back. If you're a new listener or a regular listener and you have a question for Dr. Cohn, the good news is you can call her, 877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960.
I'm here with Tino from Comfort Care Senior Services. Tino, you train all of your caregivers on how to deal with those who are struggling with Alzheimer's disease, right?
I do, Mike. This disease process is frightening for everyone, and change is the scariest thing for most people. Where we should start is changing the way we think. People are not dying from Alzheimer's disease. They are living with it, and we have to figure out a way for them to keep on living their best life possible. I always say activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities is what gives people a life worth living. Properly training caregivers on all sorts of dementia is very important. Learning about behavior modification techniques, avoiding triggers, tapping into the abilities that are preserved the longest with people with dementia, and figuring out what's important to them are all vital tools caregivers need to understand. Remember, it's about the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620 or visit us on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys really look at every client differently.
Activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities give people a life worth living. That's why at Comfort Care, we complete a social history for our clients. It taps into one's life story to help caregivers know more about who this person was and, quite frankly, still is. It asks questions like, what did you do for a living? What volunteer work did you do? What was your favorite book or movie? Were you in the military? And the list goes on. Understanding background like this is helpful in creating meaningful activities. For example, if someone was a cartographer in the Army, perhaps a trip to the library to look at old maps of where they were station might be an interesting activity. If someone were an avid golfer, perhaps a makeshift putting green might be a fun outing. We couple that with a day in the life, which asks more of the daily routine questions, so a caregiver coming in is already familiar with the schedule. It makes the adjustment to having a caregiver that much easier. Caregivers want to help their clients live their best life possible. Being armed with the right information can help, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines your quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. Thrilled that you're here today. Yes, vaccine eligibility went down to 16 and 18, depending upon the vaccine today. I encourage you, do your thing, get vaccinated. It is a game changer for you. I can tell you from experience, it is liberating. My guest tonight, however, is more important than my vaccine spiel. So Dr. Cohn, K.C. Cohn, is here. She's board certified in general surgery and trauma. She's at Good Samaritan Hospital specializing in robotics for a very finite and specialized area of surgery. And she's also just been named chief of surgery at Palm Beach Gardens. Dr. Cohn, you touched on this again before this last break about the dual controls, educating. I have to think, as the Da Vinci robot in surgery continues to evolve at light speed, has evolved in a very short period of time, hundreds of years of medicine updated in now, you know, months and months and months. How do you stay ahead of this? How do you get educated? I mean, it's got to be impossible. How do you find time to work if you have to stay ahead of all of this?
You know, it is tough. But, you know, I say the basic caveats of surgery are pretty much the same. So, you know, going through surgical residency, the operation and the steps of the operation are, a lot of them are the same. We're just kind of using different instruments, if you will. And so, you know, obviously staying up with the times, the Da Vinci has actually made it, the company has made it easy and very streamlined for surgeons to do. In fact, it's almost like on-the-job training, if you will, in a very safe way. Initially, there's a lot of modules that you do on the computer that kind of teaches you, you know, what this part of the robot does. So a bunch of computer modules that you complete, get a certificate, and then obviously there's a simulation lab where they take you that there are not live patients, and you do lots of practice and lots of simulation. And then once you've been cleared and checked off on those tasks, then you come back to your designated hospital. And usually, for the most part, there's no short of already robotically trained surgeons. And you know, you get to have one of them proctor you. Some hospitals say you need at least 30 cases before you can fly on your own in a great variety of different cases. So even now, though, if there's a new operation that I would like to try that I haven't tried robotically, obviously I will, you know, call the company and say, this is what I'd like to start and I'd like to evolve in this realm. And they will bring in a proctor who will sit with me at the console and we'll do the case together. And we'll do it as many times as I need to where it's safe and I've been checked off and they feel comfortable saying, you're very proficient at doing this.
Well, that's fascinating. To shift gears just a little bit, your area of specialty is very finite. You really work in, I'll say millimeters, but I'm sure it's even smaller than that at times. And you do a lot of cancer treatment. I know that you do from our previous show a couple of years ago. I'm going to assume, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the ability that the robotic surgery process affords you gives you the ability, I didn't say that well, gives you the ability to avoid damage to surrounding areas, to take out only those areas that are either infected or affected by cancer, prevent taking out too much or too little. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to assume outcomes have to be better with this. Is that accurate?
So I would say it's hard to tell. I mean, do it open versus robotic versus laparoscopic. I think that if you're looking at recurrence rates for cancer, I know initially in the infancy of robotics, you know, the recurrence rate may have been a little bit higher for the robotics than it would have been for open. And so now that we've been doing it so long and we're cognizant of that fact, that has greatly improved. So there's many studies out there that I'm not going to get into all the specifics out that compare open with robotics / laparoscopic, because a lot of times they're lumped together, because that's what basically patients and scientists want to know, that both techniques are superior. And as a patient, you can choose either. The recurrence rates are about the same for both, open versus, you know, lap versus robotic. The difference is in the patient's recovery, length of stay, blood loss. You know, in many different cancers, we found that giving blood products after surgery increases their chance of recurrence of the cancer. So if we can minimize blood loss in an operation, we might be able to minimize recurrence rates. And that is very true of colorectal cancer, which is, you know, robotic surgery is just made for colorectal. So if we can minimize blood loss, then obviously that might change the recurrence rates as well. But I mean, there's some bias in that, because remember, if you're doing a surgery and you have to do it open because robotic is not possible, that's probably a bigger tumor. It's a higher risk patient. So the values might be skewed a little bit in terms of, like, you know, because if we're doing an open operation, that's usually a sicker patient, so, or in a bigger tumor. So it's hard to get an accurate recurrence rate. But if you really just boil it down, for oncology surgery, I would say open, lap robotic, the recurrences are about the same.
It's interesting. It makes sense, as you say it, that you're more likely to be sicker if you do open. I get that. Do you do colorectal? I didn't think that was your area.
That's not really my...
I didn't think that was really your area of specialty.
I work with a wonderful surgeon who's in my office, and his specialty is colorectal. He's phenomenal. So I leave that area mainly to him, although in training, obviously, do a lot of colorectal, but he's so proficient and great. I leave that to him.
Yeah, no, because I know that's an area of specialty, and I know you're more liver, pancreas.
Yeah, right? That's general.
Mm-hmm. General surgery. So that's great. And Well, I have so much more to ask you. When we do come back, I'm going to ask you about the impact on people waiting too long because of COVID. Mm-hmm. I'm going to talk about that. I want to talk about the great investment Good Sam is making in robotic surgery. And I'm also going to give you a chance to tell everybody how to reach you if they thinking they need general surgery or something else, how they could come and get you. If you're just tuning in, Scott Greenberg, Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom, here tonight with Dr. Casey Cohn. Dr. Cohn is at Good Samaritan Hospital. She is a general surgeon specializing primarily in pancreas, liver, in that general area. But more importantly, she's here tonight to talk about robotic surgery and the rapid advancements that we are making in that arena and the ability to do things that perhaps we were never able to do before. If you're a new listener to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom, we're here every Monday night from 6 to 7. If you're an old listener, we're also here every Monday night from 6 to 7. We talk about issues that confront boomers and their parents, and we try to keep you current with the latest and the greatest. We're going to tell you about upcoming shows in a little bit. We're going to give you an opportunity to jot down how to reach Dr. Cohn if you want to ask her anything personal in person. She will talk about how you can make an appointment to see her. And, of course, if you have a question for her now, you can call us at 877-960-9960. It's 877-960-9960.
Hi, I'm Dan Lagani, the CEO of Silver Solutions, the senior-focused company that works like a family for all of your mom and dad's home-related needs as they age. From keeping them safely in their current home, to managing a downsizing or relocation to assisted living, to emptying a home and distributing the family's treasures after the loss of a loved one. Silver Solutions is there to help families move forward with ease and confidence. If you're worried about your aging parents' safety at home, or you're an older adult concerned about losing your independence, give us a call today at 1-877-8 Age Safe. That's 1-877-AGESAFE. Or visit us online at silversolutions.com for a free consultation. We're bonded, insured, and follow rigorous CDC guidelines on all jobs, including the use of full PPE. You can't stop the aging process, but with Silver Solutions, you can make growing older safer and less stressful for the whole family.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As your parents get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared?
Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. ElderCare 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and resources to assist you and your loved ones with their daily activities of living with healthcare challenges.
As a patient advocate, ElderCare 360 brings together a team of patient-focused, caring professionals with decades of experience. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800.
Make ElderCare 360 part of your team. ElderCare 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
I'm here with Scott Greenberg from Comfort Care Senior Services. Scott, you're very involved when it comes to the senior community.
That's right, Mike. We firmly believe that involvement in the community, giving back to the community, comes back to us in many, many ways. One of the ways it comes back to us is in our understanding of what's going on, what's new, what's trending. So we're very involved in the guardianship community, for example. We're involved in Alzheimer's community care, in the Alzheimer's Association, in Parkinson's. We run support groups. Basically, what I'm saying is that we want to be a part of the community in ways that we just don't receive benefit, but that we can give benefit as well. It's very important for us to understand the needs of the entire community and the needs of other people who are providing services. It is only through that that we can ensure that we provide the best care possible. Remember, Mike, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines the quality of their life. So remember, let our family take care of your family and call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or look us up on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. We're thrilled that you're with us tonight. I'm also thrilled that my guest is here. Dr. Casey Cohn is here. She is a general surgeon specializing in liver, pancreas, and other like areas, but also robotics. And we're talking mostly about robotics tonight because Good Samaritan Hospital, where Dr. Cohn has her the bulk of her practice, although a lot of her practice is also at Palm Beach Gardens Hospital, so I don't know how she does both. She goes back and forth, okay, because she's just been named chief of surgery at Palm Beach Gardens, and she's at Good Samaritan Hospital. She's here tonight, and we're excited because we're talking about robots. Anyway, before I forget, how do people reach you if they want to reach you after tonight's show?
I actually have two offices now. I have one downtown in the Victor Ferris Building by Good Sam, 561-802-9958, and call anytime. And then I have an office in the gardens, which has the same phone number. It's on Burns Road.
Okay, and give the number again because...
Sure, it's 561-802-9958.
Terrific. I forgot what I wanted to ask you. what I wanted to ask you next. Talk to me about, because I think this is really important. Good Samaritan Hospital has really made a major commitment to advancement in technology, not the least of which is their focus on robotics. And I think there is a perception that all hospitals are good at something, but not at everything. But Good Sam's really gone out of their way to invest in what we're talking about tonight, robotic surgery, right?
They have. It's a big commitment, and it has really shown. When I first started, we had the old SI Generation 1 robot, and now we have three. Not only do we have three, but we have one of the dual consoles, which is rare. And so, and we've recruited a lot of surgeons that I would say almost are trying to be exclusively robotic. The other thing is that they've gone above and beyond to train the staff, not just to know what the robot does and maybe if you step in for a few minutes, but, that everybody's proficient in the robot. And what that allows us to do is that we can do emergency general surgery with the robot, which is incredible, which is something that we haven't really been able to do before. So if you come in after hours at 7 p.m. on a Saturday, I have the same capability that I do Monday morning at 10 o'clock with the robot, which is phenomenal because, the care that you're going to get is going to be the same. And so I think that was initially really difficult because every single person on staff had to learn how to use the robot. But Good Sam has done a good job about, slowly making that process, rolling it out so it's comfortable for both the staff. And it's just been great because we can do robotic surgery all hours of the day and even on weekends. They've even extended elective general surgery during high season to Saturdays to see if we can do robotic surgeries electively on Saturdays, which gives, more variety to patients.
And availability. And I guess that was the question I forgot that I wanted to ask you, which was COVID has had a lot of impacts on our life, right?
Yeah.
It's had in so many ways, and we talk about it a lot on the show, and we talk about it in our daily lives. One of the unfortunate complications of COVID has nothing to do with the disease itself, except that it prevented people from doing things they should have done much sooner.
Mm-hmm.
I have no doubt that that's affected surgery, elective versus emergency. Has that put added pressure on you? Is people waiting too long? Are surgeries more complicated because of COVID?
Yeah, I would say at the very beginning of the pandemic, it was difficult because when we thought we were going to run out of beds, obviously patients would come in with non-COVID issues. Let's say, perfect example, appendicitis. And we basically changed the way we thought. Nowadays, you come in and there's even early appendicitis, it's very straightforward operation. We just take you to the OR and 15, 30 minutes later, it's out. But we didn't have the bed space during COVID. So patients with appendicitis were sometimes being admitted and not having an operation and waited. We were treating things very differently. Interestingly enough, COVID really changed the way we could use the robot in laparoscopy. So remember, we pump in gas during robotics and laparoscopy. So if the patient is COVID positive and you pump in that gas, that whole OR is exposed to aerosolized gas when you release the gas from the abdomen.
Wow.
So it's a much higher risk doing laparoscopic or robotic surgery in the middle of the pandemic because of the aerosolized component of it. So a lot of us that were robotic or, you know, laparoscopic surgeons, and we operating on a COVID patient, not only is a COVID patient's, you know, mortality from surgery 50% greater than that of somebody who doesn't, but also now we're having to change the operation that we're doing because it puts the entire staff at more risk. So, you know, that was the issue. And then, you know, people waiting, not coming to the hospital and having, you know, for example, we're seeing a rise in, you know, breast cancer and colon cancer and things like that because people miss their screenings, their regular colonoscopies, regular mammograms, regular, you know, digital rectal exams. All of those part of preventative care during the pandemic when offices were just not open to do all those necessary checks. You know, now there's a backlog of those things being done. And so we're seeing things in the emergent setting, patients that maybe had symptomatic, you know, gallstones and got to the point where they had full-blown cholecystitis and were operating. I mean, just had a string at the hospital of just really nasty gallbladders, really nasty appendix. So people were just too nervous to come into the hospital because their beds were full of, you know, COVID patients. And so I think there was a backlog of cases and a lot of extreme cases when the doors opened again.
And that has abated of late, right?
It's great,
I mean,
yeah.
It's starting to calm down.
Cause yeah.
Parenthetically, I've talked to many physicians who, you know, have seen increase in heart attacks or more serious heart issues, more serious, you know, as you said, waiting too long for all sorts of procedures. And by the time they got there, they were way too sick. If you just tuned in, of course, this is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. If you found us by accident and found out that we're talking with Dr. Cohn, Casey Cohn, tonight about robotic surgery, and you're sorry you missed the whole show, I have really good news for you. You don't have to miss it any longer. You will be able to call it up tomorrow. We podcast. Yes, we do. OMG, I'm getting up. We will pop. You can listen to this show or any of the other shows that we've done over the near 10 years that we've been here on Oh My God. Of course, if podcast is not for you, we can put it up on my website, palmbeach.comfortcare.com. Palmbeach.comfortcare, palmbeach.comfortcare.com. Don't put a T in there. I know you want to. Spell check's going to make you do that. Don't do it. If you want to get the show, palmbeach.comfortcare, comfortcare. There's a radio link on top. You'll be able to listen to this show tomorrow. Of course, there is no reason for you ever having to recapture the show because you can listen wherever you are. We're on iHeartRadio, the station is, so you can get us on the iHeartRadio app. Just set it for 6 o'clock every Monday to True Oldies in Palm Beach. And, of course, we simulcast. We do on TrueOldiesFLA.com. So anywhere around the country, anywhere around the world. I had a guest a few weeks ago. A whole group of people in Mississippi are going to get the opportunity to listen because they like what they heard so much. They called, and he's going to do a Zoom meeting in Mississippi for their group. So it's able. You can be wherever you are. No excuses. Just turn the phone on. Turn a computer on, you can find us. But we prefer that you listen live, which is every Monday at 6 to 7. Next week, Dr. Tom Minas is here. He's from the Paley Institute. Paley Institute, world-renowned everywhere except in Palm Beach. Dr. Minas is going to be here, and he's doing some really fascinating things in terms of cartilage regeneration and growing cartilage, but he's also doing some amazing things in knee replacements, and I can speak with a great degree of authority about that because he operated on my wife with tremendous success. Dr. Tom Minas is going to be here. I'm excited to see him again. In 2 weeks, we're going to change gears a little bit. We're going to talk about Alzheimer's and dementia and clinical research in the area of Alzheimer's and dementia. There's a lot of misinformation out there. There's a lot of all sorts of snake oil salespeople out there willing to tell you about magic treatments for Alzheimer's and dementia. You're going to hear from one of the country's leading experts. Dr. David Watson is going to be here. Alzheimer's Research and Treatment Center. Dr. Watson is in the midst of about 20-some-odd clinical trials now, everything from prevention to early stage, mid-stage, and late stage. He'll be able to answer all your questions. More importantly, he'll answer all of mine because I have a whole host of them to ask him. And so Dr. Watson will be here then. In the few minutes I have left, though, I want to continue with my my guest tonight, Dr. Casey Cohn, general surgeon at Good Samaritan Hospital and Palm Beach Gardens Hospital as well. Dr. Cohn, with all of what's happened and all of the new abilities that you have and how fast this is, what's next? I mean, where's this going?
You know, I keep asking that. And, you know, it's funny because I ask our robotic rep all the time. I was like, so what's going to be next? I mean, honestly, I do think the Google robot is going to be, I think Google's going to try to put out a robot with like a GPS. So it's almost like you can't get into anything. I mean, obviously there's, you know, like with anything, there's still some human error. So I think Google will strive to try to take some of that out, which is interesting. But in terms of the Da Vinci, they're always coming up with just something that just blows my mind. You know, they have all kinds of three-dimensional tumor trackers. We've had them for laparoscopy, but now they're trying to be, you know, fitted for the robot. They have different energy devices that are faster, you know, cut the time that you can cauterize a vessel and cut the surgery in half, essentially. All kinds of optics with the camera. I mean, I just think it's amazing. The amount of instrumentation and the precision and the my favorite, obviously, I love the ICG. I've talked about it so much on the show, but I think that's incredible technology, and I think that we're going to come up with more of those things.
What should patients ask their surgeons before deciding to do laparoscopy or robotic or traditional, and what should they challenge you with mm-hmm. when they come in that maybe they're not asking or should be asking? What's important for the patient to understand about this?
I think it's important to ask the surgeon, you know, how comfortable are you with robotics? How many of these have you done? This case in particular, do you feel comfortable that I'm a candidate for this? You know, it's very important to tell them if you've had previous surgeries. You know, and I think it's always so important that the patient, and this goes for any field of medicine, that the patient and the doctor's expectations align. What is your expectation of how long you're going to be in the hospital? What is your expectation of pain? What is your expectation of incision size? And all of those need to align so that both the patient and the surgeon feel comfortable with the operation. I think aligning your expectations is just so important.
Is there a point in time where the layperson, potential patient, says that they may need surgery and they should call you, or do they always go through their primary to get to you? How does that process work best?
Sure. I mean, I see a lot of patients. I would say it's almost 50-50 of whether they've been to their primary or whether they just, you know, sometimes they self-diagnose and they're pretty on it.
Yeah, Dr. Google.
Yeah, Dr. Google is great for that. Google has a robot and a diagnosing, right?
Yeah, we'll have Tesla today. Elon Musk
exactly.
is going to show up in a minute.
Right.
Are there particular warning signs that people should be paying more attention to that they're ignoring so that they don't come to you in an emergency situation, that they come to you more proactively?
Sure. I mean, I think patients or people in general know their bodies the best. Sometimes we kind of ignore to listen to it. You know, in terms of the things that I see the most, you know, pain after you eat, irregardless whether it's reflux or right-sided pain or, you know, diarrhea, constipation, you know, any of those things. I mean, I think a lot of people pass off. I hear this the most in my office. I actually just thought it was a gas pain. If you're having gas pain more than, you know, 2 or 3 times a week, maybe something different. Maybe something to ask your general practitioner, easy to start with. But, you know, I hear that so much. I just thought it was gas, you know, and then we have to travel down the road of, you know, figuring out what it is.
And we don't have much time left, but they should not be afraid to come to the hospital
no.
and see you, right?
No. In fact, the safest I feel is actually in the hospital.
Yeah, somebody told me recently you're safer in the emergency room than you are in Publix.
Yes, you
not
are.
Not knocking Publix, but Publix, if you're listening, I didn't mean it.
Yeah. Love Publix.
Don't
love
sue
Publix.
Me. But anyway, but you're so wonderful.
Oh, thank you. I love being on the show.
I can't thank you enough for coming.
Oh,
I have so much
pleasure.
To talk to you about. I'm so excited that you agreed to come on. The information you give is really immeasurable. Congratulations on your new role. That's really exciting.
Thank you.
That's
yeah.
really exciting. A lot has happened in the 5 years that you're here. So
I know. I'm honored. So
yeah.
I just want to do a good job.
Yeah, you do. If you just tuned in, Scott Greenberg, Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom, here tonight with Dr. Casey Cohn, Good Samaritan Hospital, also Chief of Surgery at Palm Beach Gardens Hospital, specializing in robotic surgery tonight. But she's an expert in so much, and I hope that you enjoyed listening to her tonight. Again, if you missed it and you're sorry you did, we podcast OMG, I'm Getting. We'll be up and running with that tomorrow around noontime. We thank you. If you're a regular listener here on 95.9, thank you for coming back. If you're new, please come back next week. We're going to talk to Dr. Tom Minas from Paley about your knee, my knee, and everybody else's knee. He's really doing some amazing things. Have a good night. Happy Easter. Happy Passover. Get vaccinated. We'll see you next week. Oh, my God, I'm getting older, and so is my mom. Good night, all.